Morning everyone. Okay. As you know, today is a busy day. There is a sitting. There's another one coming later afternoon. So we need to finish as soon as we can, so that we can be, if possible, join the debate that goes on now in the House. But welcome, members, and everyone, as I've already said so. We need to quickly deal with our outstanding issues. The GCIS report, which we need to deal with, as we know that Thursday we are debating GCIS. We got quite a number of three legal opinions which need to be processed. We also have some few minutes which we need to deal with if time allows. But if time does not allow, we have to go back to the House. We are estimating that probably will be here until after 12. And then we should be able to finish our work. If we are not finished, probably we'll defer some of the work for some other time. But I'll propose, members, that we start with the GCIS report because we need to finish it. It needs to be processed, and then it must go for the ATCs and the other things because the debate is Thursday. So I would think that if we finish that report first, that will be better in terms of processing our work through the line of fair parliament. We've got our legal service person here with us. I just forgot the name. I'll remember it again. Mr. Michael Prince is here with us to deal with the issue of the legal opinion. Honorable Rutua.
Chairperson, before Mr. Michael Prince give us that presentation, I want to speak on the sittings that we have today. I wanted to know what sitting is there in the morning and maybe the other one that we have later. And as an ANC member, and I think we have rules in our caucus that bind us to be present in the sitting. I just wanted to know also if we are granted permission for this.
Thanks, Honorable Mrotua. The current budget vote is basic education, which is proceeding in the afternoon. It's a joint sitting. I think it's addressed by the Nigerian president. Good luck, Jonathan, if I still remember the name very well. And then from half past three, it's a normal sitting, which we're supposed to have until half past five or four, something like that, and so on. So those are the sittings which we are having. As of this meeting, indeed, this meeting has been handled through the Office of the Chief Whip. The House Chairperson referred everything to the Office of the Chief Whip. And then we're not sure ourselves whether we'll finally meet, but late last night, early hours of this morning, we're phoned and told that we can go ahead and have the meeting. I think it's one or few of the committees which have been approved to sit at this time. That's why I was talking about that probably the lesser time we spend there, the better, so that we join the other activities. Honorable Killer.
Chair, this afternoon it is also a budget vote and it's economic development.
Thanks very much. Can we proceed, members? To the GCIS report. Members, I thought it would be quick in dealing with these things because members have been given the reports and everything. And there was a request also for members to make their contribution on the report. I'm told that other members, they did so, and some of their input, they've been incorporated to the report. And if your input, which you have made, probably not incorporated, you will have to raise those issues so that they can be for discussion. I will also request Ngoma to take us through in terms of which member or how the contributions of members have been incorporated into the report, so that if we finish that, and then probably we can spend time on the issue of area of recommendation than the body of the report. Ngoma.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members and guests. I sent out an email requesting that members contribute to the recommendations or any other changes that needs to be made to the report. And the only one member that responded, which was Ms. Marianne Shin from the Democratic Alliance, and she had, like, up mostly just spelling areas and grammatical areas, but all those have been incorporated. And there was a section that, there was a paragraph or a sentence that I took out of the report, which had indicated, right at the end of the report, which had indicated that the Democratic Alliance will not support the budget vote. But I took it out because we had similar situations in the past where we had, this committee had agreed that such declarations must be made in the House but should not be reflected on the report itself. So that's all that I could share. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Members, that's the short report about the report itself in terms of trying to incorporate the input from members. But look, members, probably let us start from page one. If there are issues which you want to raise. Anything on page one? Page two? Honorable Killen?
Chairperson, just first paragraph, third line from the top. It refers to 2011-11 annual report.
That was all. Okay. On page two.
I don't know if it's just the reading of it. That makes it a little complex, but the last paragraph, the fourth quarter of 2012-13 financial year, the department had four programs, and it affected alterations to the names of the two programs as follows. I just believe it makes it a little difficult to sort of read. I was wondering if we shouldn't say it necessitated alteration to two of the programs as follows.
Members, that's the suggestion. The top one I'm told is 2011. The suggestion is that an stated alterations, and so on, instead of affected two of the programs, to the names
of two of the programs, because it makes reference to two programs, but the others remain unchanged, as I understand. Thank you.
Okay. Is that okay? Page three. Honorable Mrutua.
advantaged to read your reports, Chairperson, because I just don't want to make an argument. I didn't get the SMS that Tim Gosi is talking about. Although I was in Johannesburg, and some of the things I would raise here don't even affect you people. It affects the parliament because I've got a problem with my email. But nevertheless, I didn't get that SMS. Maybe that SMS was meant for other people, not us. But here, as Honorable Chilean has raised this, it still doesn't make sense to me, you know. When it says, however, towards the fourth quarter of the financial year, the department had four programs and it affected all directly. What affected that?
Lesoma?
No, Chair, Honorable Mrutua has responded because it must have to respond to the why. In even necessitated also, what cost? What was the cost? I think that's what is lacking. Probably it needs just a redrafted. We know the reasons because it was presented to us, but when you read that without that background, you will have a problem. It doesn't make sense. Thanks, Chair.
Keenan?
Thank you, Chair.
The background to that paragraph is in the paragraph just before that, where it actually says the department reviewed its structure into three core programs. It then names the programs, and then it continues to say, however, it then changed it to four. So the background is from the three to the four, and then it talks. But if you just read the paragraph before that, that's actually the background.
Honorable Chair, the point was saying we're not arguing that it says that, but it doesn't give you a fundamental question, which is why necessitate that, even the review also. It doesn't talk to that, because it's the middle of the financial year where they reviewed the programs also. I hope it does make sense, because we get that one, we know that one, even if it's not in writing. But the why part of it, which is very fundamental.
If you didn't ask it, how would you know? Because when they were presenting, you're supposed to ask them why they've changed it. So now we must manufacture during the presentation, when they presented and say we've changed, da-da-da-da-da, and so on. But the Honorable Mrutua? The point here, members, is that there was a change of names of programs, that's all. That's what you give to the reader, nothing else.
Yeah, yeah.
That there were four programs named Eric, Stein, Sheen, Mutambi, and then the other names were changed, that's all. No other thing which is tried to be expressed except that the program changed, or two of them changed their names. So probably just to do that and... Exactly. That's what we will do. But there was a suggestion that affected must change necessitated and then to the names of the of two instead of the other two. That will do, but we'll just redo it in such a way that it becomes short. But in a nutshell, it just say there was four, these were the names. Then later they change two of the names to be something. That's all what we are trying to communicate around them. Can we go to page 3, Mama? Anything? 4? Honorable 3?
just a very short, simple correction. The very first sentence, Chair, 2012-13.
Thank you. Any other one on page 3? Honourable Killen, are you talking?
Sorry, Chairperson. No, what I wanted to say was the original copy that I worked on, I marked, but subsequent to the Shin version, it was adjusted. Just a reminder, Chair, that we should actually receive draft 1, draft 2, etc. Otherwise, we don't know on which draft we're working. But this is, as I say, as per the Shin version. I received a document on the table, and I just actually just compared that one to the one that I had in my journal where I worked on. Thank you. That's where the complication slips in. Both the original and the Shin version had that problem. So the one table, there was one that was tabled this morning that I just, the Shin version. Now, the only thing that I just picked up on the original version, Chairperson, is already corrected. That was in the third paragraph, fight against poverty and unemployment. The fight against demand intensive communication. That's the third paragraph. And then it is for vulnerable citizens and priorities of government.
Members, we've got a document which on page 3 on top is starting by oversight visit conducted by the committee in 2012/3. To have that document with you is the one we are having. Well, that's the one which we are using. No, I only need to know whether I have that document or not. To have that document. Is that a document you have? Because I need to establish what other document are we having. So hence for other things going to help me. I want to establish whether do you have the same document or have got a different document. Honourable Lesoma Mrutua Killen.
Honourable Chair, I respect you, but also sometimes you must allow us to express ourselves when there is a little bit of mishap. The document that was just laid on table, we do have that, which does have some numbering 14 in terms of 13 instead of 3 in terms of 13 and all that. But I will have a fundamental problem because based on what Utemkosi has presented in terms of us expected to get the version, acknowledging what Honorable Mufutua has raised, the document cannot be personalized to a member in the committee because even that one, because there was that he made some corrections in terms of grammatical corrections, if I had it properly, which means it's a collective committee discussions, what has been covered here. But the point I'm driving at is that we've got this one which is laid on the table, which is still has got some flaws. So there's no version. We're saying that we're using the old standard, which also makes us very limited in terms of contributing because we have to scan the document quickly now within less than 5 minutes. Thank you.
Just to crown what the previous speaker spoke about, it is not you see, according to what Tim Gosi does, now if we're going to be personalizing, it means the whole, all these faults that I hear are owned by Honorable Steve. And I thought that he has made some corrections or whatever you can call them. then it would have been more easier and quite evident if they were maybe bolded so that we know where has she corrected. Because now if you just personalize the whole document to be the same version, so is she owning all these mistakes that are here?
Keila?
Chairperson, I don't really have a particular problem. I think what I understood was that there were some adjustments made. Obviously, some slipped through, some of the mistakes. Can I just suggest that the one that we have on the table, compared to the original, if you want to identify which one you have, it would be easier to refer to the bottom of page 3. Because on the latest version, I'm now concerned that I don't want to personalize the document.
We are dealing with the committee report.
Yes. But, Chairperson, we must determine which one or which version. Now, the one that is on the table concludes on a one-liner. The department's strategic goals are the medium term are. The one that was originally distributed had one bullet below that line. It has that, department strategic goals over the medium term are, and then it starts with one bullet, ensure coherence, responsive, and cost-effective communication. That is the one as was distributed originally. So I just thought, let's just not refer to the top, because both of them have the mistake at the top, but at the bottom you can see which one we're working on. Thank you, Chair.
Well, the difference is at the bottom, not on top. Honorable Mrutu.
You know what Honorable Killian just said, he's not remitting anything. We have got a document here. And if Honorable Kim has made some correctness, they should indicate where. Because it doesn't tell us whether this whole document, she has corrected the whole document, which means she has now invented her own document.
No.
According, you don't say nonsense to me. That's not the language you should use to me. I will not society when for one. You don't do that to me when I'm talking. This is my opinion, Chairperson, and maybe it will make sense. I'm trying to say this is a report, and according to the secretary said some areas. That's why I said it would have been better if we had bolded those areas. So now we mustn't talk in terms of the paragraph you see it from, because we're still going to go on with this, and we might be finding. That's why I said, will it mean if there are any other errors here, they will be owned by that particular person if you personalize it. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't know what is nonsensical there.
No, members. I think the problem here is to call a Sheen version and something else. That was the problem. Probably, if we all have page 3, a document which is saying oversight visit conducted by the committee 2012-3, which we changed to 2012-2013, let's proceed with that document. There is no Sheen version. And that's why after Ngoma explained that the Honorable Sheen has made some contribution, I say let's start from page 1 so that it becomes the committee work. She might have made some changes, but we have to go through the document with or without her changes so that it becomes finally the document we should be having ourselves as well. So probably, Honorable Killian, if you just don't finalize the document, that will help. And just go through the document and effect the changes as been effected by Honorable Sheen. I'll take a point that is just a bad report if does not highlight what has been effected. A normal report should have indicated or bolded that this is the input which has come in and so on. But I was just comfortable because the changes were not content changes, were grammatical changes. But ordinary, we have to highlight things which have been put in a report. You are right there. I don't think it's a matter which we can argue about. You are correct, members. That's supposed to happen in a report. And also the point that the draft must indicate the numbers, whereas the first draft and so on, so that we are able to follow which document we are using. Those are the things which are basic things which we're supposed to do. Members, can we proceed on page 3 if there are other things? Nothing. Page 4. Page 5. Which page do you want me to jump to? page 6. 5. Yes, on which page? Okay.
Jefferson, I just wanted to know in expenditure trend, that paragraph 4. Towards the end, fourth line from the bottom, fifth line is, in implementing the National Communication Strategy, the department will focus on ensuring that the strategy's framework is adopted at the provincial and local government level and that the development, communication campaigns and programs are aligned. Now, the word adopted, I just wanted to know, are we 100% sure that that is what they told us, or should we rather opt for the safer word to say supported? Adopted, in according to me, could refer to a formal adoption. And I don't know if we can, from national level, particularly as far as local government is concerned, enforce them to adopt it. So I was just wondering, was that in the presentation? If not, if that is not taken out of the presentation of what they told us, could we perhaps opt for the word supported, so that we understand what we are saying about that specific function of the department.
Thank you. Any other issue on page 5? I'm trying to figure out what exactly are you, your question is, Honorable Kile, because all what he's saying there, it's saying that the department will focus on ensuring that the strategy framework is adopted. Now, of course, if the provincial government has not adopted, or the local one, but it's saying that's where they will focus in to make sure that it's adopted. But it's not talking about the final product, that it has been adopted. It's a framework which they want to go and sell for adoption by the other layers. And that's what appears on the ENE. But I'm trying to check exactly what is the question there, because you ask it as if it's a final product that it has been already adopted at that level. But all what they are saying, this framework, they will ensure that they focus that it's also adopted in the other levels and so on. But that's what it means. But maybe I'm not capturing your question, Honorable Isoma Mtambi.
No, Chair, from where we were in terms of the presentation, we understood it. Of course, what Honorable Killer is raising is that they don't have an authority to impose, but to influence, to lobby, to influence for the adoption, probably. So that they don't come and say that we're forcing them. Because also, even them, when they come in the next year, review also, if they haven't achieved that, probably we might put them on spot also and saying that they shouldn't have raised it this way, probably just to protect them. But I understand it's right, Chet.
Tommy?
Add on Honorable Suma to say, one presumes, they've got this government communicators forum that they have. They use this in local government and also municipality way in the SGCIS being the leader. I think the understanding was that they're going to process that through that forum, because it's a legally considered forum where all the local government and provincial governments attend the government communicators forum.
What change do you want to see there?
The final product after a lobby
will influence any city they adopt. In the end, whether they will lobby them will influence either they will adopt or not. Yeah. That framework.
Make a proposal, Chairperson?
Honorable Mutua, I'll come to you, Honorable Kile.
No, no, I'm saying all what he said is to ensure. Yeah, to ensure that the strategy frame is adopted. What is the way that we have to move out of? Because to me, it means the same thing.
Kile?
Listen, it's not a major issue, but the issue here is just as Honorable Lesoma has indicated. They have reported to us that it is sometimes complex to get the buy-in of other government departments as well as other spheres of government. So therefore, it is to suggest the department will focus on lobbying for the adoption of the strategies framework on provincial and local government level. Lobbying, you know, we'll focus on. No, Chairperson, ensure means that they will take steps that the province and the local government, you know, adopt that. And I'm just arguing for their protection. They don't have the legal standing to do that. So that's why they will try to promote the brand, the plan on the different spheres. That is the word ensure that it is adopted. So that is why I have argued that we should possibly look at a different formulation for that purpose. Thank you.
They have already presented to us that this is what they are going to do. Are we trying to redefine for them? You see, that's my problem. Well, they have already presented that's what they are going to do. All what you have to do as a committee when they come next year or whatever time is to check whether they've achieved what they say they will achieve. Honorable Mutambi?
Covered by your last statement, Commissioner. Also bearing in mind that we've got this intergovernmental relations framework that is in place, where in departments they must cooperate, the idea related. I think for us, because this is what they've presented, we'll just have to follow up as they present their progress report, first quarter report.
I don't think we need a dramatic forest in any case. Maybe the lobbying that Chile is talking about. I am convinced by what Honorable Dandy has reminded us of the entire government. Because it means you can lobby, but at the end you convince someone. So to me, that's the same thing. And it will be done, you know, at that point. So I think that is what they meant. And I think it's fine for me.
Honorable Shin, Honorable Kilan.
Thank you, Chair. You will recall that when I started this, I in fact asked for clarity, if it was part of the presentation. If so, then it should be captured as such. If not, then we should adjust it. So I'm fine with it.
No, my apology, Honorable Keelan, not to give you that explicit response from the onset. Page 6. Or 6, if there's still something, 6, 7. Honourable Killen?
Little paragraph as it is page 6. It is just above the 5, paragraph 5. Second sentence, the posts are to be filled within 2 months. Shall we not say as per departmental policy?
I hope when we're dealing with communication report, we need 2 days. If we can go at this pace on Tuesday. But 7. That the dossier report is around page 50 pages, so we'll see how fast we go. Page 8.
So, just 2 comments. The recommendations, I just felt that I think what we should have clarity about is just how we structure the typographical format of the recommendations. Is it not going to be better to say the committee noted the following, 1, 2, 2, 2, etc. Secondly, I just wanted to say the very first reference to the MDDA's request for National Treasury to facilitate what. It is an exceptionally clumsy sentence. We know what is meant, but I just want to suggest that we consult the language services of Parliament to make sure that we just reformulate the sentence so that it does not read as clumsy as it reads at present. Thank you, Chair.
Language services is not here. It's a committee report. Can you come with suggestions? Change the sentence to mean what you want as a committee? You can think about, we'll come back. Any other issues? Honorable Singh, the principal today is off. Murutua. No comment. Honorable Killen is saying the first part sentence is clumsy. You see, you have to talk to that because it should be the scene of the committee. So if she's saying it's clumsy, it should be done not clumsy, so that it expresses what we want to talk about. But in essence, that there is a budget allocation or a cost center in Department of Communications. There's a cost center there in Department of Communications, which is Vote 9, which is allocation to support capacity building of community radio program, which sits with DOC. The intention is that that cost center must move out of DOC to GCIS, which is Vote 27. That's what we're trying to say. If this, it does not say what I'm saying, that is the problem, but it must say what I'm saying. Honorable Rizoma.
No, Honorable Chair, I think we are not trying, we are saying that the center should capture that first Roman figure, should capture as that, not too much of elaborate, so that it just precisely stays to the point. Thank you, Chair. I think you have assisted the us. Thank you.
So we must rework it in that way. Honorable Stein?
Chair, yes, I agree that it should be reworked. I just want to make a further suggestion. We have some difficulty, and we know this in all committees, about tracking recommendations in reports that get adopted by the House. And in this regard, I want to suggest that under 8, we possibly have two sections there. One is observations by the committee, and the other one is then very specific recommendations, something that is a number that one can actually track. And I want to say, therefore, that first paragraph and possibly the third should be observations by the committee. And then we follow with the recommendations based on those observations, what we want the minister or whoever else to do. And that includes the remarks you made now about the vote 9 as a very specific recommendation, together with the second paragraph, which should be, and it says the committee recommends that the minister want.
I hope I hear you. Rizoma?
Just probably to hope that I understood Honorable Member what he's saying. What he's saying in terms of recommendations, which is number 8, let's highlight the committee noted, and then it follows with the Roman figures. The committee recommends, which is written there, all those must be written in bold so that it's very clear. But also what we do, I just want to confirm what I understood. First paragraph, the second paragraph, you make it third paragraph. Then it says, because it says that you need to end by the recommendation, what the committee is saying. But also the second two paragraphs are very critical that we were satisfied with the work, which I don't think the member is saying we must take it out. But also, I think also there's a format and a way how do you write the committee report. Mm. And I'm not too sure whether, based on what we're suggesting, are they too offline? Because I think they are experienced. But what we're saying is that it must be bold so that you know what are the issues. If it's the noting part, all noting parts should be in one category, and then your recommendation, the last category, as it may. Thank you, Chair.
Tambi?
The Chairperson having gone through this, I think it would be, I think Killian, Honorable Killian is quite right when you go through this, especially when it continues also to say after all the noting and then to continue to elaborate on other things. It becomes very clumsy. I think I'll concur with what Honorable Lesoma is saying. Maybe to not even to bold, just to highlight the notice. But now when I go on to the second paragraph, the recommendation that is made there, it doesn't refer to what has been noted here, necessarily refer to that. So I think I concur with her that we should highlight what the committee has noted. And then you continue to make the other recommendations by the committee. Now it goes back to what Honorable Sain said. I think we are agreeing, all of us.
Yeah.
It's just a format.
Honorable State.
I don't know, I didn't have my hand up. I made a suggestion earlier. There's been some discussion about it, but I don't think it's any different to what I'm suggesting.
Yeah.
It says that we need to just distinguish between the observations and then very specifically note the recommendations so that they can be tracked as well.
Okay. Thanks very much. Since we are not differing, my take is that you are saying first what we must do if we have noted or observed something, it must be linked to a recommendation. It's what you're saying.
Yeah, not necessarily every observation will be linked to a recommendation. We may make some observations, but we may not make a recommendation linked to that. But all I want is to distinguish between the observations and then go to the recommendations and have them recommendation number one, and very specifically what it is we're recommending and who must do that. And if I may just add, while I am there, Chairperson, on that second paragraph, which is primarily deals with the recommendations, if we're going to adopt that, I want to suggest a change to that last sentence, where we say, for example, I'm just going to read the last two sentences of that paragraph about the committee recommendations that national government departments and state-owned entities should advertise through community media. Now, I think what our recommendation has been in the past, this can suggest that all advertising should be through community media. What we have said was that it should include community media. So I want to suggest then that we say, and state-owned entities should include advertising through community media.
I'm so agreed on that. Honorable, so my hand was up.
Yeah, on a lighter note, that it seems like you're not satisfied when we have got a general agreement. But also just to remind you, in your December conference also, you know you resolve and you note and you further note, but you resolve at the end of the day. That's what you are saying. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much. Honorable Killian, they still have to do that. They have not had an opportunity to do that. They are still going to have to resolve not and do other things in their Congress. No, thanks very much, members. No, we agree with that. It's the separation of the noting or observation from the recommendation clearly, so that they are two separate in such a way that you can see which is which. Page 11. No, we're not talking about signing. We're not talking about this paragraph. No, thanks, members. If there is nothing, you can talk about the signature. How should it look like? Honorable Killian Singh, Mthambi, we follow.
Thank you, Chair. Just the last paragraph, just where we have recommended. If we saying we start, the committee is satisfied, blah, 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 then I suggest that we say and recommend that the MDDA provide a breakdown of funding for existing, blah, blah, blah. Just the tense, Chair, because we're saying the committee is satisfied with the MDDA and recommends.
Oh,
Chair, I had added in that, and this is simply because of a complication that arose for my colleague Butch and myself last year, was that when this report was tabled in the ATC, or published in the ATC, we got into trouble because it said that we'd supported it, and it meant that we couldn't then, when it came to actual budget votes, vote against it. So that is why I actually asked to have it included in there, that the DA reserves its position on this.
It's just that it does not seem to be the standard of writing the report. I think that's the difficult, because remember that there are the standards of writing the report. I would think the problem probably is that the processing of the minutes which is going to reflect your position should be quick, because I think that's where the problem is, because the minutes must capture that you have not agreed or whatever with the report. But it will seem the standard, because remember that when you draft the report, you must to put it through the parliament people to look into the report, audit and other things and so on, in terms of the language and the other thing. I think it's a matter probably which need to be raised at a certain point, because at some stage, because I'm not sure, but last time I checked even the other report, I never seen one which explicitly saying party X, da-da-da-da-da-da, and so on as a report. I think the issue is that as much as one party does not agree with the report, but does not mean that it's not a committee report. It becomes a committee report in terms of being processed by the committee and majority members agree with the report. And then it becomes a committee report, but that does not take away the rights of the individual parties to differ in terms of, I think that's the reason that it's not becoming explicit in terms of the individual party on the report itself, but the minutes will be reflecting that, because whether the other parties agree or not, but if it's adopted by the majority members of the committee, it becomes a committee report. It might not be the one which says the X party wants or Y, but it becomes a committee report. I think that's the issue, but it needs to be raised, or probably, Honorable Singh, through the chief whip's channels and so on, so that finally there will be one uniformity in terms of how to deal with it. I think that's where with the problem is. Honourable Killen?
Chairperson, yeah. I just want to say, I'm just trying to find the rule. I know the rule does make provision for minority views to be captured. Now,
In a
committee report. I just want to find the rule, so I'm just going through the rule book. But
no, you can check the rule, but you must also refer me to any report of a committee in Parliament which referred. They did that and so on. Because I think that's the issue. That's why I'm saying probably it's a matter, it's an important matter, if it does not reflect, but probably it's a matter which needs to be taken through the structures of the chief whip structures and the other structures, so that it becomes a standard of how the reports are written and so on. I think that's where the issue is, the standard current in terms of how the report have been reported or reflected at and so on. But Honourable Killen, sorry to stop you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the fact that, you know, there were no similar reports or whatever, I think to a large extent depends on active participation of opposition members also in committees. Now, we must differentiate between the adoption of a report which contains broad overview of what was presented, etc., and I don't think that there's a problem. As long as the report does not say, the budget vote is supported by the committee, because we cannot bind our respective caucuses to that position. That must go to the caucuses, and they will raise other issues. We've already started with prolonged caucuses to determine that. So as long as the committee, by adopting the report, it does not mean that the parties who were part of the report writing process necessarily say that they support the budget. As long as we have that common understanding, then it's fine. I don't think there should be a problem. So we can differentiate between the two. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
I fail to understand that a report as a report, because I thought now, which was going also in terms of recording, that the report was accepted and adopted by the committee, and then it ends there. Then Honorable Sheehan will raise her hand and say that she does, or they reserve their right as DA to pronounce on the document. Because I will have a fundamental problem when there is a report, that because the report gets adopted by the majority, or all of us, if don't have an issue. But I have never, ever seen a report that starts by saying that, because if that's the case, then probably the parliament needs to advise us how do we accommodate that one outside the minutes. Because the minutes are also, for me, are the annexure or the addendum that gives you a view how the report was adopted. For me, I'm not too sure, but they do have a right, but I think we need to proceed, Chair. Thank you.
Chairperson, this is not the first report that has been adopted by this committee. And I think I'll agree with the members that are saying this is a true reflection of what we have received. That's what it says, actually. So that, hence we are saying the committee is satisfied with the MTDA medium-term expenditure framework. If there are any other issues that should be corrected, as the Honorable Killian has alluded to the rules, what the rules are saying, I think, Chairperson, that will be done by the whips. It's not for us to do that. We are going to be sticking to the standards that we are using until such time. Thank you.
I just wanted us to move on this item for us to formally adopt the report and then we'll proceed on the matter.
Thank you, Honourable Steng.
Okay. Whilst I support that we move on this, can I just make a last recommendation to a change? And if we look at the last page where we talk about the MDDA, we're linking a recommendation to the fact that we are satisfied with the report. I want to suggest that we take that recommendation out there and put it together with the other recommendations, firstly. And then we just combine the last paragraph on page 10 and the first paragraph on page 11, and we say, however, the committee is satisfied with the GCIS strategic plan 2013-2017, its annual performance plan for 2013-2014, and the MDDA medium term expenditure framework and annual performance plan for the period 2013-2017, and accordingly supports its implementation, as we've got in the previous one. So because it is one report for both entities, for both those, and we just formulated in one paragraph, and we support its implementation.
If I was in my meeting, I was saying that was progressive, comrade, but that's accepted, Honorable State. look, members, probably let us put the matter there. The other one, I hope parties are going to raise it through their structures. So that if there is a change in terms of the standard of writing the report, then it will be effected holistically throughout the report of Parliament. Members, do I have the move and the second of the report with all the changes as effected from seeing yourself, everyone? Honourable Ntambi?
Yes, we hereby move for the adoption of the report with the changes effected.
Of Honorable Ntambi, saying. Honorable Killen.
looking for a second. Oh, okay. Honorable.
No, Chair, Honorable Wu. No, Chair, I second the motion raised for the committee to accept and adopt the report with amendments. On a letter note, anyway, they are not going to second it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Shin. I thought you say you've got your own views on the report. I agree, we need to capture the minutes.
Now, I've made my point, Chair. I'll obviously have to, as you say, consult with the structures.
What become your position on the report? Your position on the report?
Chairperson, I, on behalf of my party, support the report, but as I indicated before, I will take my mandate from my caucus, thank you, on the budget.
Yeah, that would be, I didn't realize that was what you were wanting me to record, but yeah, we'll obviously take it to the structures, but we support the report as a reflection of what was the presentations that were made to us. And we agree with the implementation, but we reserve our position on voting for the budget.
Thank you very much. I will just urge you members that as soon as you finalize the consultation with your caucuses, if you want to differ and so on, if you can just forget it or kindly reflect to me so that we also prepare the... No. You see, you want this thing when happen to be smooth. So immediately when you get those mandates, that's why I'm saying not mandatory, as a courtesy to me as a chair, you see, so that I know what will be happening. Thanks very much. Thanks, members. We are done with the MDDA report. Welcome, Honorable Kekan. We receive your report, your apology that you are still coming. Members, can we quickly deal with the legal opinion? I nearly said Honorable Michael will lead us, but no, he's not yet an honorable. Is it Mr. Michael? Prince will be the one who will be assist us with the legal opinions which we are having. There are three, actually. They've been circulated to you, members, at some last meetings or so, after those meetings. We've got one dated 22nd. We've got two dated 22nd of April. And we've got one dated the 8th of April, 2013. Do you have the members? Welcome, Deputy Minister. Do you have the legal opinion? There are three. One dated 8th, around the issue of the councillor. The other one dated 22nd, appointment interim board. And the other one dated the 22nd around the issue of the DG for Department of Communication. Let's start with the 8-1 member. Do you need any explanation from the legal service around that? The one dated 8, the issue of councillor of ICASA. Honorable Shin.
Yes, Chair. I'd just like to discuss generally the recommendations of legal advice. By the way, it's spelled ADVICE. Basically, I'm disappointed in this advice because I can understand that strictly legally the person concerned has not been convicted yet in a court of law. but he was judging, yeah, from the timing of his appointment by this committee and approval in the National Assembly, and his formal conviction on charges of fraud was literally happened within a matter of weeks. So when he was before us, he was fully aware that he was facing very serious criminal charges that would bear on his character. This obviously had been a long time in coming. This is a serious case, and I think that ICASA is seriously challenged with credibility issues right now. The caliber of the council is seriously questioned, and I believe that at this stage, while we cannot legally disqualify him, we should in some way persuade him to resign with grace and step aside. I do not believe that the committee can condone the appointment by Parliament of a person facing such serious charges as these.
Honourable Chair, I'm seeking a guidance from your good self here, Honourable Chair. We agree that let's seek an illegal advice on this matter, with a clear understanding that the person in question was fully aware. It was an open secret, if I can use that word, and we're aware. But are we saying now, Honourable Chair, that a person, we must judge the person before he gets or she gets judged by the court, or we're doing that? Because there must be a principle when we advertise that we inform people that if anyone, even if your chicken has gone to your neighbor's boundary and there's been a case against you, we are not going to be given. Whether the chicken was right to go to the neighbor's premises or not is a different story. But otherwise, when we are written off in terms of your society and your capability and your well-being in the society. And I just want to question that. Because legally speaking, we like it or not, the legal advice that we are given here, it does appreciate there's law in this country that you are not guilty until you are charged guilty. Because sometimes you can have allegations against you and you get cleared. What are you going to do? Are you going to reinstate this person? Unless honourable member says that he doesn't trust this legal advice that has been given, she recommends that we seek another legal advice and then she's going to pay for that. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. No, Chair, I just think for all of us it's important that we either uphold the rule of law or we decide otherwise. We decide to run this country with a kangaroo court. I mean, the point is that the rule of law, a court of justice, is meant to follow due processes of exposing a person to defend himself if he's alleged to have committed offenses. Everybody must remember tomorrow it will be you. There will be allegations against you. They'll say you've killed somebody. Must we just decide to take action because somebody has decided to do so? So I just think it is very important that we respect the rule of law, a court of justice, and up until a person is proven guilty, to be honest, no matter how strong we feel about a matter, we must be patient enough to wait for the true course of justice to take its process. Otherwise, to be honest, I don't see the difference between us and a kangaroo court. This will be strict law that will be governing the country, because everybody will just say, look, the allegations, I'm finding you guilty, I'm acting upon those allegations. I think we must really wait for a court of law. I mean, that is the purpose of the rule of law in any country.
Mount.
Ntua, Kilani.
Chairperson, I think I've been covered by the previous speakers, especially from Fule Soma to Honorable Geka. Mina Chairperson, I don't know why should we be arguing now, because we argued at first because we're not sure of what the legal implications would be. And on introduction on this, it explains why the Constitutional and Legal Services Office has responded to this, because we asked them to give us an advice. And if you read through the bullets starting from 5, 6, and 7, it explains very well what we should be doing. So I'll align myself what is written here in terms of responding. Although I'm not a legal fundi, I depend on Ndambi. She's here in front of me, an advocate. Thank you.
Honorable King? Killian, not King.
Thank you.
I don't know whether you're going to join Brother Leader to be the Queen, but Honorable Killian?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I must say I was similarly extremely disappointed. I was actually concerned that this was the case, I must be honest, because of how the Act is formulated. But the fact of the matter is we are sitting with a credibility crisis. And I would like to know what is the current status. It seems that the person's appointment was signed off by the minister in September. That person became a councillor of ICASA soon thereafter. That during the process of our interviews, the person did not reveal the possibility of this case coming, and I think that was actually very serious. But this is now the situation. Now, I want to know, is he therefore drawing his monthly allowance at present? Firstly. Secondly, the fact that charges were leveled against him, what is the current position in terms of his participation in council meetings? And how will that impact on the legal status of such decisions taken by the, apart from the credibility crisis? I'm now talking strictly legalistically. What happens? Is it only that with effect from date of guilty finding that it would be illegal? And, you know, we can be here for the next 4 years, because once found guilty or otherwise, either party can appeal. So it could really be a very long and protracted process. We must establish, is this person currently working as a counsellor? Is he being paid? And are there any possible pitfalls? Not that we have any other powers to remove the person. I perfectly understand that. And therefore, if we can understand what the position is, so that we can know to what extent other ways of trying to understand what do we have as members of Parliament, what other what was the word that was earlier used? Ensuring, lobbying, whatever, just influencing, so that we do not sit with this problem for too long. So what can we do? As I say, you know, it is really an untenable situation that shortly, during the process, we were not made aware of this, and it was not revealed to us, and shortly thereafter he's appointed, and there we sit. Now we sit with a four-year term, ICASA councillor, handsomely rewarded monthly. What is the current position? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lisoma, Stain, Marutuwa, Tambi.
Chair, the issue of credibility, all of us have got a concern, because we would like our taxpayers and our constituents to take us seriously, all of us.
But Honorable Killen, she says it very nicely, I like it. That when we're running interviews, we didn't know the story. However, it has come to our notice and we acted upon it. And we seek a legal advice. And the legal advice, as we're all mindful and legally aware that we cannot run a day-to-day oversight to entities and individuals. The legal advice says that we must now inform the minister to keep on tabs in terms of the perform and the case, how does the case unfold. The other one, what she's saying is upon the individual. Legally speaking, you can't impose that. However, the information that she wants to source is outside what is being said. We're saying here, I think she's just lacking a better word and a guts, because she's in opposition to say that in terms of the legal advice, we accept this because legally we can't do more than what is being said here. However, as a progress, we'd like to be informed timeously in terms of the happenings of the case, how does it take far. But also would like, as an officer generally, in terms of the individual conduct and based on good corporate governance, ethics, and so forth and so forth, what steps has he taken upon himself? Because legally, even the council also cannot impose not for him not to attend because he's got a pending case against him. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, Chairperson, I really don't know what we are doing here. I think we want to go back to where we started, because this document here is explaining to us and giving us a leeway of how we should deal with this, because we wanted legal advice and we were so concerned about the very things that I mentioned. Now that this document says, I said, if you read from bullet 5-6, the seventh one tells you exactly what the minister must do. I don't know whether we can't read, or we should have a better English so that people will understand. To me, it seems as if really we don't have confidence in the legal advisors that we have in Parliament. Maybe people should get other legal advice, but it's of no use. They won't come and advise here in Parliament. Here we depend on what Parliament has put in place for us. Therefore, Chairperson, I think now I'll concur with what this document is advising us to do. Stay.
Thank you, Chairperson. There's actually two issues on the table here, Chair. The first one is the issue before us for which we sought legal advice. And I fully accept and adopt and concur with the concept of innocent until proven guilty. And that is what we sought legal advice for. And we can't pretty much do much about that until the legal process is concluded. However, Chairperson, there is another issue at stake here that we did not seek legal advice on. And that is the fact that at the time of the interviews, was the candidate aware of the impending charge against him? And he should then have divulged that information to the interviewing committee. And in a situation such as that where he did not do that, did he not willfully mislead the committee then during the interview process? And that is actually the issue that is at stake here. And that perhaps we should seek legal advice on. Thank you, Chair.
Sin, before I come back to Murutua.
Jesus, I think the issue is that we have been put in an untenable position, and I think none of us dispute the fact that, you know, legally there's nothing we can do to rescind his appointment. I don't think any of us dispute that. What we're actually trying to do is find a way to actually deal with this, I think, probably unique situation that this committee has faced. My understanding is, and I'm obviously open to correction, is that the person concerned has not yet taken up his position at ICASA and is still in the DOC. I'm not sure if he's still there, as I say, I'm open to correction. And my suggestion earlier that he be perhaps encouraged to to step down until his name is cleared. I mean, it's not as if he's going to be without a job. I assume that he would still be employed by the department. But we are in an unique situation that I think not only jeopardizes the credibility of this committee, in that we were kept in the dark, although the Honourable Lusuma said that it was an open secret. If it was an open secret, it wasn't made knowledge of known to the rest of the committee during the interviewing process. Maybe the ANC knew that their former colleague was facing charges, but anyway, she needs to explain what she meant by open secret. It definitely wasn't known to us until the newspapers published it on the announcement of his appointment. So what I'm trying to say is that we need to find a calm way of actually dealing with an untenable excuse me, situation, which not only is an embarrassment to this committee, to ICASA, it's also an embarrassment to Parliament that we've actually appointed a man who chose not to reveal that he was facing these charges.
May I clarify myself, Chair?
Morotowa.
Chairperson, I don't know whether we have in the Hansard the information of how these interviews went. Maybe that would assist us, because I don't remember whether anyone has questioned the candidate on this issue. And now that we are calling it a, you know, what do you call it, Simon? Secret what?
Open secret.
Open secret. Because it states here that he was not yet convicted of this, although there was this going on. And how could he just say without, if anyone had known then, we didn't even ask. Maybe it's for us to, the blame should be on us, because we never even asked the candidate about this issue. So we cannot say he did it deliberately and came here when he knew that, because he knew that he was not convicted yet. So it was not necessary for him to come and say before even we asked and come and sing a praise deluted. I've got this pending issue. I think it's very unfair. And we are not going to be opening another can here of worms, because our concern was on this, and it has been responded to, and we are going to act on this as this committee.
What clarity wanted to give, Lusuma?
I think Honorable Rutua, in a way, she has covered that, because it was an open secret that we never asked him on that, would have known, because the issue of ethics that Honorable Killian is raising now was going to be on stake then. But also would not have just only seek for the legal advice, not only so, if we are aware of that. Thank you, Chair.
Mutambi.
After all is said and done, thank you. I think we need to trust our legal services. We attend this matter to see them advise us. And now we have got the advice before us. And then I think ours is just to align. In order to avoid anarchy, we align ourselves with the advice that we've got. And then we need to advise the minister accordingly. On these issues of the AIM appearing, the court will decide. Let's not preempt the outcome of the court. The court will decide, and then for now, he is presumed innocent until proven guilty. So that shouldn't deter him from occupying this position of being a councillor of ICAS. And then I think let's just align ourselves with the legal advice, because this is our own institution that we put in place in order to assist us perform our oversight effectively. So we have the legal advice. Why can't we align ourselves with the legal advice? And then these other things that the colleagues are raising, I think we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. That's our recommendation, Chairperson, that we close this matter on that note.
Thanks, members. Honorable Killen, your hand's still up.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I cannot align myself to Honorable Ntombi's recommendation that we just simply accept it. I want to establish what the position was, if there is any possibility of following up on the misleading of a parliamentary committee. And in this respect, I just want to say we deliberately made an effort in asking every one of the candidates if there was anything in any skeleton, we didn't call it a skeleton, but any possibility that they could, why they should not be appointed. We asked them, every one of the council applicants. So I just want to make that point, that there should be a record, and that would constitute a very serious transgression. That's the first thing. The second thing, Chairperson, is I just feel that by simply accepting that this has now happened, etc., what have we decided in the past? I can recall that we have in fact said we should get their hand in writing about their suitability for a position, etc., and in terms of disqualifications, etc. Now, do we have anything like that on record? Because I remember when Honorable De Lange was still a member of the committee, we had concerns with regards to some of the boards, etc., and we said we will have to tighten our processes. Now, what have we done so far, and what processes were followed during this last round of appointees? Because the fingers will point to this committee, notwithstanding the fact that some of the members of this committee did not support the specific candidate for other reasons. We were not aware of what was happening. And we need to just scrutinize that. For now, this is the legal opinion on the table. What we need to investigate further, and I want to know what the position is as far as participation in council meetings of ICASA at present. Thank you.
Before I give other members, we are going to move in cycles around this matter. Look, members, I don't know whether any of us here has faced charges before. This person has not yet been convicted. I don't know whether the security or the investigative arm of government do inform you that we are investigating you in time. I don't know. Because you see, when it comes to the issue raised by Honorable Killen, yes, there is a form which they complete and sign in terms of whether there are anything which can make them not be appointable. But the difficult thing about it is that when Mr. Motlaluka was on the stand here being interviewed by us, if you don't know that you are investigated, you don't know. You can't anticipate that I'm being investigated somewhere. I just want to make an example. That's why I'm asking whether have you been through that process, whether they tell you that we're investigating you as a person, or they investigate when they think that they can bring you to court, then they accordingly inform you and bring you to court. Well, that we must separate those things. Now, the question is that at the point when he was sitting before us during the interview, whether at that time has not attended any court, not been charged with anything at the time of the interview, because we don't need to be hard to ourselves as if ourselves have not done anything right and so on. The fact of the matter is that it will seem when the person was sitting before us here, at that time there was no indication of investigation charges and so on. That happened immediately after the house, when the people now were arrested, were brought before the court. Now, how do you determine or anticipate that I'm being investigated as an individual? I think that's where the difficulty. I think Honorable Sheen and the other members were spot on to say we're in an untenable position. where you follow processes, then after the processes, then something happens. Surely, members, we can't sit here and manufacture reasons why not to appoint him. We can't do that. I don't think it's not what we're supposed to do, to manufacture reasons. The fact of the matter is what we've got an untenable situation where the processes went through and so on. And then a person was brought before the court. And as we stand now, if you follow the case, they have not even been asked whether they plead guilty. They have not even pleaded on the allegation. They were just brought to court and so on, bail and other things, all those things happened. Now, I think that's the difficult situation. I'm sure that's what the legal opinion is trying to say at this point is very difficult. But by the way, even if you have already understand the case is going, the fact of the matter is that you are not yet guilty, you've been charged of anything and so on. But I'm just saying, members, that we don't have to be so cynical to ourselves and think that we have not done what we're supposed to. We have done everything we're supposed to do. We have the form which Honorable Shiren is talking about where they indicate that there's nothing. The reality is that at the point of the interview, there were no indication of being investigated or taken to court at the time, in terms of you follow the whole sequence of how it happened and so on. And the base on the situation that indeed Honorable Shin, Mr. Motlaluka is still with DOC, because remember that the minister has taken this thing back to parliament because he has not wanted to finally let the person start. He wanted that it come back to parliament for a view and opinion and other things and so on. So that's why it came back to us. Ordinary should have been finalized and so on, the process. So he has not started as a councillor yet because of the uncertainty of what must happen based on the circumstances. The department, I'm told, they had their own legal processes, which came up with the same thing. So, but even then, they said they want to be sure whether a second opinion can come to the same conclusion and so on, which comes to the same conclusion. Now, why in a fix? It's the first time we have this situation. We never had it before. Where you've got a situation which is falling out of the crack of the legislation. Because the disqualification and unappointability of the person, this does not form of one. And again, whether we had something in the law, whether it could stand the test of the constitutionality test that you want to prejudice a person who have not yet finally been convicted, and the other thing is something else. So it's a very unique situation which we find ourselves at and so on. So that's why probably I would say maybe the members who are saying this is the legal opinion, this is the view that legally speaking, it's what Honorable Shin was saying and the other members that there's nothing you can do. The person is appointable. And of course, it's within that person if of course find within himself maybe not to take up the position. But it seems as if we never anticipated or our laws have not anticipated such a situation and so on. Probably because of the constitutionality of it. What do you do constitutionally? So I think that's the difficult part of it and so on. So the other thing of disclosing members and so on, it will be very difficult because when these people investigate you, they don't tell you. You see them when they come and ask you and say, these are the reasons and so on, but they won't tell, hey, we're investigating you. It does not happen like that. In some of the time, those who are lucky probably are told, but others, they just see people coming in, passing you to jail and everything and so on. Honorable Chief.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, I'm relieved to hear that the man is still employed, he's not out of work. But I would like to suggest that we actually further investigate whether he was aware at the time that he appeared before the committee that he was facing an investigation by the Land Bank. This obviously wasn't an overnight thing. I would assume, simply because of the speed with which it happened, that he was aware for some time that he was in dispute with the Land Bank, and that he was aware, it would seem to me highly probable, that he was aware during his interview with us that he knew that he was being investigated, and he should have declared that. What I'm looking at is whether his declaration to us is valid. And I think that we must investigate that, because if he was aware that he was being investigated by the Land Bank or in some sort of legal to and fro with the Land Bank's lawyers, that there was something happening, he should have, if he was a person of integrity, and that's integrity is what we seek on the ICASA councillors, he would have, should have, declared the same and excused himself from the process. I do not think that this is over. I realize that the legal position that we're in, but this is why I would suggest that we seek a diplomatic solution to actually asking him to step aside and remain in his post at DOC.
But you must take the members that even the state advisors recommended that if nothing can be done. They've done their own investigation and so on from the department itself. So we're not the first instant institution to deal with this matter or the dilemma. Even the department has faced the same dilemma. They came to the same conclusion that the person is appointable in terms of the law. Honorable Mruto?
Chairperson, I thought as a chairperson you were trying to guide us. And the question of Mr. Mhlaluga coming for interviews, and now that we have got advices from elsewhere, we have got new concerns now as members here. That of investigating whether he knew that he was investigated. I thought you have explained that. And I think, Chairperson, we are going to be wasting our time here. As this committee, maybe we should resolve this and come to conclusions. What do we say? Because we really are not going to be entertaining what Honorable Shin say and whoever is seconding here. Because now this is a new concern that she has. Even when she's told that Mr. Mhlaluga didn't know that he was investigated, how should we explain this? We keep on explaining and then she insists, now we must come to an end. We can't be sitting here and dealing with the same of thing of assumptions and everything. I want to recommend that we really make conclusions on this as this committee, that the minister can proceed. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Kida.
Chairperson, I wanted to formally second the proposal of Honourable Shin that we just proceed further with clarity. If we could all receive a copy of the document that he signed so that we could at least see when he signed that document and what the document states. And then obviously it would help, but it seems that there will not be support for transcriptions of the interview that the committee conducted with him, so that we can also verify what his response was to a question with regard to his suitability for such a position. Chair, and just in conclusion, we can step off of the matter. We understand what the position is in terms of judicial processes, but it would be a very sad day if members of the committee do not really scrutinize exactly what went wrong, where, that this was not picked up. It could very well be that no process at that stage started, but we will have to ascertain if that is indeed the case. If that is the case, and Mr. Mhlaluga was really not aware of anything at that stage, so be it. Then we all understand, then we know we've done our work. But we need to get the information about this, so that we understand that we have done everything possible to get to the bottom of where things went wrong. We want to confirm the status of ICASA, the credibility of the institution, which is really being undermined if this is how things happen. And therefore, I think we can just walk this one extra half a mile to get the information so that we all feel comfortable that we've done our job in terms of our constitutional oversight role. Thank you, Chair.
Probably we can try to do that, but members, can you consult the ICASA Act? Well, because you see, what I'm saying is that even ourselves, we can't act without outside our own act. So if you can consult the act, that's why I was saying original. The sensible thing is what Honorable Shin and other members were saying, unfortunately, legally, on this matter, we're in a fix. Probably that's why Honorable Shin was then going overboard now to talk about the moral persuasion of the person to resign. Because legally, what are you going to do? You can get all the transcripts. You can get everything. Then what? In relation of the act. But I think that's where the issue is. And I think that's where the legal advice is based. It's based on the legislation, not in terms of feeling or perception and other things and so on.
Chair, I think we all agree that the issue on which we received legal advice is as per the legal advice.
Yeah.
There is the other issue that I mentioned, Chair, and perhaps there is somebody from the state law office here. Could we not just, would it not just be possible for your office to just write a letter requesting confirmation whether the individual at the time of the interviews was aware of any investigation or not. And that will either put the whole thing to rest,
yeah,
or it will indicate that, in fact, information, critical information, was withheld from the interviewing committee.
Thank you. Legal services?
Thank you, Chair. I just had an opportunity to quickly go through the Act. As you say, that our hands are tied by what's in the Act and by the rule of law. If I can just point the committee to, and I don't know whether the committee members have the Act in front of them, but I can maybe just read a short section. A councillor appointed, and that is 3.4, section 5, sub 4. Sub 4 lists the stuff, for lack of a better word, that the councillor has to take an oath or affirm. And that is, he's committed to fairness, freedom of expression, openness, and accountability. Second one, he upholds the constitution. If he passes that hurdle, then we have to check section 6, the disqualification criteria. Disqualification criteria, in this case, the councillor would have been disqualified had he been convicted of fraud. And that's what the Act says. We can't go past that. So even if you had asked him the question when he was interviewed, is he aware of any, and he knew at the time that he was, this is just my opinion from reading the Act, he would still have this, the disqualification requirement in sub 6 would still not have applied to him because he wasn't convicted of fraud at the time. The Act does not say whether he was charged with fraud. The Act simply asks, has he been convicted of fraud, then he's disqualified. Otherwise, Chair, with respect, a number of people in this country would not be able to get a job if we are charged with something, and that's the criteria for disqualification. As to the other route that the member suggested, legal services cannot express a view on the view out a route to take outside the legal framework. Thank you, Chair.
Sinim Tambi. Kekanem Rutuwa.
Chair, I think that what we're trying to establish is whether the undertaking that the candidate signed was actually truthful. He may well have signed that he knew of nothing, but he may not have been telling the truth when he signed that document. And I think that is what we need to, if the legal services are sure that he didn't lie to the committee when he was being interviewed, can they please provide us with some letter assuring us that they have investigated that at the time that he appeared before the committee, he was unaware that he was likely to be charged with fraud by the Land Bank. Can we actually just at least have an assurance that he did not lie to the committee when he was before us? Because what we're actually looking at, again, is the integrity of the person.
Look, members, before I go to the other hand, that's why I'm saying, members, we can't manufacture things to suit what we want. The issue here is, whether he knew or he didn't knew, it's immaterial in terms of his appointment, because he's not convicted of fraud. Now, I will tell you where the difficulty is. The form which we give them to sign says, do you know anything which can make you unappointable? If you look in terms of what they feel and you come to the act, even if you knew that I'm investigated for, just for example, say, what difference is going to make, because that's not the reason not to appoint him, because he's not convicted of anything. So it's immaterial, actually. Whether you get that or not, it's immaterial for us to work and try to stop the appointment. Because at that time, if you are investigated, we are not convicted of fraud. Even if you know that you are investigated, you are not convicted of fraud. So in terms of the act, you still qualify. You can be appointed because nobody knows the outcome. All that I'm trying to say is that, believe me, I've tried all what you are talking about. When I was talking to the legal service, I tried everything. There's nothing new actually which you have raised, which I didn't raise with them. In terms of trying to make sure whether are we within what can be used and so on. The fact of the matter is that the legislation as crafted now is only dealing with the, you see, if the person was convicted and then didn't disclose the conviction, then it should be something else. But whether I was investigated at the time, still, even if we don't appoint him on the basis that he's undergoing investigation, we can take and be caught ourselves as a committee because we are infringing on the right of the person. He's not convicted, and in terms of the act, a process is going on, it's not yet finalized, so you can't use that as an appointability measure. That's the issue which we are facing. There's nothing, whether he knew or he didn't knew and so on, what are you going to do? Whether he did disclose, he's still appointable in terms of the act and so on. That does not make him not appointable. So I think that's the issue which I'm talking about. And I've raised all these issues with the legal people which are raising. All of them. And the act just didn't accommodate most of those things and so on. So the only solution is what probably Honorable Shin was talking about, that the person himself is up to him, whether he wants to take up that or he wants to not to take up the job. But I'm saying legally or as a committee, we can't make laws which we want also to undermine ourselves when it suits us as a committee and so on. This is an eye-opener in terms of the weaknesses in the legislation, which probably when amendments come, we need to reinforce those things and so on. But I just plead with you, members, that hard luck. Honorable Singh, can we move?
Now, this is just a comment, Chair, that if we were, you know, this was an employment interview that he went on, and if he had made it known to a prospective employer, any one of us, he was going to employ him in a high-powered job paying over R1 million a year, and he said, by the way, I'm being investigated for fraud, would we have offered him the job?
If he knows that has not been offered the job because they have disclosed that, can take it to court as an employee because they are infringing to his right. Based on your own policies as an employer, that only a convicted person cannot be employed. Now you want to disadvantage him because they have disclosed to you. So I'm just saying everything which happens before conviction doesn't, is immaterial in this case unless the conviction itself in terms of fraud. That's the problem.
We must really conclude because this is a very dicey thing. Because in the history of men, there are cases where people are accused only to find their innocence. Now, if you're going to confess and say, I've been charged for fraud, you're helping in case you are innocent, and only the court can prove you if you are innocent. In those instances where people are innocent, do you expect people to help those that are damaging their image, the integrity that you're talking about, those that are destroying it on a big campaign to destroy it? Do you expect that particular individual to help those people? That is why the law is clear that you are only disqualified if you are convicted, like the chase says, if you are found guilty. For as long as you are not found guilty, in case you are innocent, and your image is being destroyed, do you expect the individual to help people destroy his own image in case he's innocent? So it is true that you must leave it, to be honest, strictly within the framework of the law, because if you try and move outside the legal framework about integrity and so on, it becomes a very dicey thing, especially in a case where a person is going to be charged but is innocent. Later the court is saying you are innocent, and the whole integrity that you are concerned about is destroyed. I mean, this is people's images. And if we agree that the court must say who's right and who's wrong, why do we want to prejudge? So, Chair, I really think we must close it. And like we've been advised by the legal service, that keep it within the framework of the law, and that way we can work. Otherwise, it becomes a very dicey thing, because what we're trying to avoid will fall into the trap of.
Members, can we conclude the matter? Lisoma?
Chair, I think we have tried our level best to prove that probably we don't apply our minds, which I necessarily don't agree with that. That we apply our minds and the law still, they are still good, and also our legal advice is good, and I suggest and second what Honorable Mtumba raised a long time ago, and also Honorable Kagana is saying now. I'm seconding, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks for the new member, Mtumba, but it's accepted. members, that's where we are. We have seen that there's a possibility of amendment of ICASPA and other acts and legislation, probably is what members must start to work on, because now you've got a living case which has happened. Probably no legislation evolves based on realities. And sometimes when you make laws based on the experience of life, what is happening in life and so on. So now things happen, probably we'll be able to deal with that matter at that particular point. But I'll appeal to members that I've tried all the tricks and some worse than what we have suggested. It didn't work. Everything point to the same conclusion. Honorable Killen?
I accept the position at present, but I just want to say we can certainly improve on the document that we present, because at this stage, even without legislative amendments, we can improve on that, because the disqualification is of such a nature that that we should make reference to that. You know, this whole section speaks to the issue at hand, and that is that you need to have people with integrity in that council. So I'm just saying we can, in the meantime, certainly improve. No, not to say that which will, you know, are you aware of anything that will limit your suitability for appointment? We can make reference to at least the disqualification clause, so that we extract further information from the person. Because this is a very costly exercise, Jay, and it is costly in more ways than financially, because it will have an impact on a very key constitutionally entrenched institution, which is ICASA. Thank you.
What we'll do, I'll request that the committee give that document to the leader, services of parliament, for all the institutions which are appointing, to draft that in such a way that, because the other thing is that we cannot also come with criteria which are outside the law. Even our own criteria should be in line with the legislation of the institution we're appointing at that particular point. So that will do, Honorable Killen, give them just to clean it up so that we have a standard one based of whatever institution we're appointing at that time. Members are not doing very well in terms of time. Can we go to the issue of the interim SABC board member, which is the 22 April reference 125 from 2013? I assume that members they've read the document. We can as well enter to discussion when it's hot, then the legal service will come to cool it down. Honorable Killen.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I please just ask through you, the legal services, apart from the letter by the chairperson of the interim chairperson of the board, if the legal services obtained anything in writing from the person who was appointed by the National Assembly, indicating exactly what the concerns were that he raised with the company secretary. The concern that I have, having read through the report, is that we are communicating via the interim chairperson, via the company secretary, but we have nothing in terms of a possible conflict of interest and what it registered. This is an interpretation of what he says, and I have a serious problem to deal with a legal opinion on an interpretation and to have that presented to this committee. Chair, because some of the deductions
probably before you proceed, Honourable Member, when I send it to the legal service, there was a letter from the person himself. Yes, I do have that letter myself, where the person himself indicating to the chair. Probably they told you that it's not necessary to attach everything. They only attach the one from the chairperson. But there is a letter from the doctor himself indicating about this matter. You can proceed. Sorry to interject.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. It would be appreciated if we can have a copy of that later. Secondly, I am surprised and disappointed with the conclusion that the legal services have made about if you serve as a board person, a board director, you become a state employee. That cannot be the case. We're talking of a company. We're talking of a governance position. We're talking of allowances for meetings of the board, et cetera, et cetera. You're certainly not becoming an employee. Now, if that was part of the reason why this was the legal opinion, then I would like to question that as well. Thank you.
Honourable Shin, DM.
Thank you, Chair. One thing I was unhappy totally with the process of the way the interim board was appointed, because it's only a temporary thing, and I felt that we were rushing to fill a vacuum without properly evaluating the people that were coming forward. What I would like to suggest as a way to filling the vacancy is that we approach the Institute of Directors for them to identify someone who is suitable at short notice for this post, and someone with the requisite skills, someone who has had experience as a company director and who obviously has the required legal skills. They did this very swiftly for Telkom, and they found people of caliber. In fact, Telkom probably has the best board of directors it's had for a while. Further to that, I would like to suggest that this committee discuss amendments to the Act on how the board is appointed, the interim board is appointed, because I feel that it's flawed and open to abuse. And so if we can at a later stage perhaps discuss amendments to the Act to streamline the process and make sure that it's a credible one. But at the moment I would like to suggest that we approach the Institute of Directors as quickly as possible to replace the, to suggest a suitable candidate. Thank you.
Deputy Minister, Joanne Wasser, I'm coming to you, Honorable Lisoma.
Thanks, Chair. I think, Chair, I must just clarify one thing, that the matter that we're discussing now was did not just emerge from the department or from the portfolio committee, but it is the person that was appointed that raised the matter, that because of the position he holds and the type of business that he's involved with regards to government and wherever he's involved at, he cannot occupy the position. It doesn't matter how many legal opinions we will get, but it indicates that the person himself is not interested in taking the position, which is something that we can't do, or we can't do better off or outside it. Then on the issue of the appointment chair of the board members, the interim board members, I would, somebody raised, one honourable member raised the fact that we consult with the Institute of Directors in terms of them forwarding us a capable name. Whilst I support that, but then what I would request if the committee is to take that route, is to approach the IOD to say, give us probably 10 or whatever names or your database of the people that you have there. Then the committee itself identifies the person that they can agree with and are comfortable with. Because at the end of the day, it is your responsibility as this PCC to recommend to the National Assembly to appoint a member of the SABC board. I second the one of the amendment of the Broadcasting Act, because there's lots of loopholes, let alone that now we're just focusing on the appointment of the interim board. There's lots of things that the Act does not assist us, both as the legislature and the people of this country. Therefore, there's a lot that can be done to assist the process. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Lisoma.
Honourable Chair, I don't know. Probably it goes with the school of thought that I belong to. When I do appreciate when we discuss something, we get focused. And don't go all over the show when there's one item on the table. Because if you add something, it must be clear that we have disposed of this matter. Now we are bringing a totally new issue. Also, I don't take it very kindly, the impression that is being indirectly created by my honourable member Killian next to me to my right here, that says that she seems like anybody that is appointed by this government she doesn't trust. But also the implications thereof, also even your capacity and the level to lead this committee as the chair is very shallow the way she perceives it. And I'll have a fundamental problem with that because I take an exception on that. Although it's not me personally, but I take an exception on that. The only thing that she should have raised as a decent person that wants to build this country is to ask whether were the letters from the individual, but also that one, when the chairperson of the board of SABC, interim chairperson, she did indicate that the person concerned raised the matter. But because there was no letter that was secured to us, then we are saying the interim board chair were also doubting her. And I'll have a fundamental problem with that chair. Honestly speaking, members should be very responsible when they speak. We can politic, but we must be very responsible. Hence then, on this one, I don't have a problem with that, or nobody can have a problem with the legal advice that is before us. However then, taking the point that the DM has raised, that members have raised different options of getting a quick way of getting another fifth interim board member. Can we have a report that will say that in light of this, taking also in consideration the time that now there are less than five, there will be 4 months next month, is that worth it to put to replace the individual? And also these are the options that can be explored to quick get that warm body to be in. But moving forward, also these are the areas. But also I cannot believe that this country should also be reactive all the time. Whatever personal minor issue that affects one individual out of a whole, then we say there's something with the act that is wrong. And I think all our acts, then we should agree that they all have a problem. But let's preempt those challenges of those gaps and then deal with it. The point I'm raising that let us be clinical and be having a systematic way of dealing with the issues and separate the issues, Chair. I thank you the opportunity you have afforded me. Thank you.
Chairperson, I don't see myself really training my mind. I just want to amplify what the previous speaker just said, because actually knowing that it was the Mr. Who, by the way? Yeah. He was what the deputy minister just said. It was from him, and now we are trying to change it as if the interim board is what. Chairperson, I think we are really politicking here and playing, you know, for the platform we are in, so that we are politicking. There is, I don't see us really wasting time, Chairperson, on this matter, because it is straightforward. Therefore, I will say I concur with what Honorable Sommer just said.
Thank you, members. Look, members, before others raise their hands, there are two things which you must do, because you must advise the National Assembly on this matter. You must remember that there was the appointment of per resolution of the National Assembly. And if there are changes on its resolution, then we must be able to go back and report on the matter. One is the issue which has been raised, which probably don't have to take a decision today. One is the issue of do we have to fill the position? I think you members have to think about that. Do we have to do that? Or the current four can run and finish the 6 months? I think that's one issue. The second issue is that if the answer is yes, then parties must start to look for a replacement of that person. Whether you go through institute of directors, whatever mechanism you use is not a problem. But parties must start to, if the answer is yes, then parties must start to look for a replacement in relation of understanding what is currently on the interim board and the legislation in terms of the expertise which is needed there. So I think for me those are the two things which parties must do, but probably we don't have to finish now the whole issue, but to think about it. Whether we need to fill it, if yes, parties must start to come up with names. How do you do that? You can do it in whatever way of getting that particular person and so on. So that we finalize the report to the House, to inform the House that this is what has happened and this is what we recommend as a committee. Honorable Shin.
Yes, I think that one of the issues that will guide our decision is the timing. You know, this board, I think, has got another 4 months left to sit, and we're going to be in the process of choosing new people. And I think that they do need another person. I mean, the Act says five. The acting chairperson herself has said that they would like someone with legal experience. So obviously, the board is feeling a lack of expertise to deal with the issues before it. And I think that because of the nature of this is happening, I mean, if we further deliberate on this, we're going to actually postpone it, so it's going to be another 3 months or whatever. And I think that the need for expertise is now. And so I would suggest that we accept that they do need a person, as the interim chairperson has suggested, that they do need another person with legal expertise.
and that because we don't have time to, further deliberate, and this isn't a strategic position, it's merely an administrative corporate governance position, that's what the thing is, this person is not going to change the direction of the SABC, that we actually go for the solution that Telkom did, and it actually goes to an appointment of a person. We can have a look at a couple of names, but really we didn't really elaborate too much on the previous people who were elected to the interim board, so I don't see why we need to go to a great process of interrogating any names that the, let's just say, the Institute of Directors comes up with for us. So I would suggest that we move with speed on this rather than, you know, let it drag out for another month or two.
Thank you. The dragging might be an issue. I'm not sure that we'll have normal dinner during the the debate because it must go through to the plenary. So I will see as we proceed with them. But Honourable Killen?
Person, I think we will have an opportunity during the first week of May only. So that will leave us with a board of a 3 month. But can I just say that I think maybe legally we will be compelled actually to fill that position. And therefore I think we should start looking at that, and it could be a good solution if we find a person with the requisite skills. Chair, so with that, I think I agree that you know, we can think about it, but we will have to deal with it next time that we come together again to probably discuss the report on the DOC. Chair, and then just lastly, I have for quite a large period of time, for a long period of time, I've actually accepted free debate in this committee, but there is a tendency from Honourable Lesoma and from Honourable Mastori, and that is to always attack the person and not the argument. And I just want to say that I do not really take kindly to that, but I accept it as a reality. I just feel I also need protection from the chair and from the whip of the ANC. Let us differ on the basis of what we say, but don't always question each other's integrity. Thank you.
You see, Honourable Killen, probably the problem is the English and the choice of words which you lose. Because some of those words indeed sometimes it's difficult to stomach it. You see, if I was a chairperson who overreacts easily on things, I'm telling you most of the time you could not be finishing most of your sentences. So well, some of the wording you use are very painful. But it needs a mature person to understand that you don't mean that. But from outside, another person listening to that and try to analyze can reach a different conclusion. So I think it's the choice of words, the wording. I think that's where the difficulty is. I won't react with me. It's fine. You can hit left and right. I'm okay. I'll just proceed with the work at hand. But sometimes the wording are a little bit sensitive. I'll give you just one example. Probably you are honest. I don't have to doubt what you are doing when you say those things. But it sometimes just go in such a way that it creates a doubt to all of us here, probably to myself or probably to the entity. Like I'm saying that probably is the choice of words. Which are normally used and so on. So you know what different. So indeed, other members, when they listen that and conclude, that then they have to correct the perception. So all what they are trying to do is to correct the perception so that it does not go as other person, because if they can interpret it like that, it means the majority of people here might reach the same conclusion. My take is that it's around that, but I could see Honorable Soma, the hands was up.
I think also, without being also taking it further, but also even ourselves, Chair, we are matured enough. That's why our organization have asked us to be here. But also, Chair, I agree with you, Honourable Chair, when you say that probably the choice of word. Because the question that we are dealing with here, we are not personal. But if you talk as if Tina, we belong, we're school kids, and also all the time there's nothing wrong. Take an example of the first item in terms of the legal advice that we're dealing with. She was at pain to get something wrong with it. Even the initial originator of the argument have already accepted that nothing that we can do. But also even when we have explained that we have done all what you could do, but it implies that, and this committee also nationally or nation has got an interest of what we deliberate on here. And we have to prove a point. She has to prove a point how useless we are. We have to prove a point with sound mind to say we know what we're doing here. If she can learn that, it could be nice. If she controls her colleagues at a party level, it can't be here, Chair. Unfortunately, it can't happen here. That's the only thing I would say, that you debate, we politic, but with respect at the same time. And that's all we're saying. If she can do that, that's how we respond also when Honorable Killer Shin raised issues. We address the issue because it's how she raised the issues also. She tries to be very focused when she raised the issue. But my honorable member here, she probed you so that you can say something and feel the pain that she wants to do and get joy out of that. We're not going to give her that joy out of our own expense. Thank you.
Maroto?
Chairperson, I can assure you that I don't even know what Killian is talking about. Because I think we are here to debate, Chairperson. And we debate on issues that are raised by personalities. So if at some stage I happen to mention who raised the whole thing, I'm very sorry, I'm not being personal. We are debating so that we agree. I don't know what does she mean by saying Uma story and they seem to personalize. If we can go deep into this, Chairperson, we might raise issues that will be alarming here. Because I don't understand, you know, the perception that the sometimes opposition drives. What Honorable Lesoma is saying, the implication here is that ANC members are, you know, are not well equipped up here, and we must only listen to other members who are here as opposition. And really, we can't, you know, allow that. I, for one, I will never allow, not that I'm attacking that person because she happens to be a personal attack on her, but I'm trying to debate so that I can show the world that I've been sent here by the ANC because they have trust in me. And I don't know really what is she trying to say. I just don't want to be serious on that.
Thanks, members. I can only appeal that probably let us be kind to each other. Probably, like I was saying, Honorable Kenneth, probably the choice of word will trigger other people to respond. In English is not our first language. Swati is my first language, not English. So sometimes that's the problem we're having. Members, can we deal with the last one quick and then we go? Honorable Shin?
Sorry, Chair, we made a decision about this one, about the SABC one.
Yes, the SABC one is that firstly, we have to fill that position because it seems to be a must. And the request which I then made was that the parties must start to look for the replacement. Probably you raised the issue of the institution of directors. The issue was that the final decision is with the committee. So whatever way you go about to get the name, but finally it should be the matter of the committee to finalize the issue of the name. Honorable Shin?
So are you telling us that the committee must now go out and find lawyers who are willing to stand for 4 months?
not just a simple lawyer. It would be good if the person who's got a corporate legal, because sometimes when you say, we think that lawyers are capable to deal with this thing, and you get the shock of your life. It should be at least a corporate law, a person who understands corporate law, and so on, not just a simple lawyer for criminals and other things. What would go to deal with criminals? So all that I'm saying parties must do that, but it's a matter which from our side we have to finish it as soon as possible. It might delay in terms of the processing of the house and other things, but from our side, if in our next sitting we can get some indication how to move forward, that might be better, so that it does not delay from us. Thank you, members. The last one seems to be simple and straightforward.
Thank you, Chair. The legal advice seems a bit lame. The problem is that the minister ignored us the first time around. Why is she going to take us seriously this time around? And I was wondering if we couldn't actually include perhaps getting the leader of government business to use some coercive language to get the minister to do her job. Because, you know, I think just another letter from the committee isn't going to do it.
Members, in short, what the legal advice is saying is that we must call the minister to the committee to tell us what he has done in relation to our recommendation. That's all. And believe me, the minister never disregarded any communication from the committee. If we agree with the legal advice, that's what we are going to do. We can ask the minister to come before the committee to come and tell us what has he done with our recommendation. But I'm saying we never call her and then she refuses to come before the committee. If she didn't come, there'd been the reason. But if members are saying we agree with the legal opinion that we must call her to come and give us a report, that's what we can do and see whether she's going to refuse to come. But she never done that before. Any other hands? Are we okay? So we can request the minister to come and give us. Oh, okay. Members, one issue before we leave is that we have been instructed or told that we need to deal with Brand SA. Remember the issue of the monitoring that you got NYDA, who's with appropriation, this with appropriation. So last year we dealt with Brand South Africa, but remember that we thought it's an interim measure. After the clarity around that, but we are told that Brand SA will remain in the committee, and we have not dealt with it and so on. And also the implication is that Brand SA is not belonging to the GSIS budget vote, neither so to DOC. And now is a matter that probably through your caucuses, is that through your speakers and so on, when we debate the presidency vote, you have to inform them so that they incorporate Brand SA as part of their debate when they deal with that budget vote. But in terms of processing their strategic plan and their budget and so on, we have to do it ourselves. So we look for a possible date to do that, but it will be before the debate of the president so that we finish their report and so on. But there will be no debate which, like, you know, GCIS and DOC to be part of the broader president's vote debate. And so I'm just highlighting that so that parties can alert their caucus that whoever speaks they choose, at least they must also be able to reflect in Brand SA and so on. But it's a matter that will process as time goes on. But we thought that everything went to appropriation. The other thing members will see on your pack, which other members they didn't receive, other they did. You've got previous minutes. You've got Mpumalanga oversight report there. Can you please go through that? If you've got suggestions and so on, reflect early so that our work becomes easy when we are here. But the report will be added at the end of this week. We'll have your Northwest Gauteng report. We still have the two public hearings report for the cost to communicate, which we did, and the DTT and so on, which must also come there. But for now, if we can go through this, then we'll see as we get to the other reports, so that we can process all the reports and finish the backlog, even in terms of the minutes. We'll be processing the same minutes for today when we meet next time. Otherwise, I'm not sure whether there's any other thing members want to talk about. All I can say is that good luck for Thursday debate. GCIS, which is coming Thursday, I'm told at 2 o'clock, that debate will be happening. Anything, members, before we leave? Honourable Singh?
Chair, any indication of when the committee will meet again to actually go to approve the minutes and the department and all that sort of good thing?
Members, the difficulty is that these days it will be pending to the approval of the chief whip and the other team. Our intention was that we have to sit next week and do the work which is supposed to do. But we have to pass the hurdle of the approval of doing that. If we get the approval, probably, I've seen the Brand SA reports already out, their strategic plan and so on. And we've got the minutes with us. But I think the issue of minutes now will be the issue of sneaking it, because I don't think you can get a clearance or permission just to come and deal with reports and minutes, especially which we are not debating about. Only the one they're debating about will be able to get that approval and so on. So we are still going to engage on that probably next week, Tuesday, but depending on what is happening on the very difficult approval process these days whilst we are dealing with the budget. Thanks very much, members. Be kind on Thursday. enjoy your lunch. Honourable Ruto.